All right. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2019. My name is Sophia Morrison, and I am interviewing Allison Williamson in her home of Ashland, Kentucky for my first-year seminar class at Marshall University. Our first-year seminar class has been focusing on the themes of critical thinking, the power and value of asking well-crafted questions, storytelling, and the stories we tell in response to those well-crafted questions. Frank Sesno's book, Ask More, has served as inspiration for this interview. This interview will be focused on the theme of careers and counseling and yoga. Allison, thank you for agreeing to be interviewed.
No problem. I'm so excited.
Okay, so tell me about your current occupation. Like, what is your occupation title, job description?
Formally, I am the victim services coordinator at Pathways, which covers 10 counties in eastern Kentucky. So essentially, when anyone goes to the hospital and asks for what we call a rape kit, if they've been sexually assaulted, the hospital by law has to call a advocate, and in the 10 counties that we cover, that's Pathways. So I coordinate the volunteers that go to support those individuals at the hospital. And then other things like education in the community, in the high schools, and just day-to-day walk-ins, crisis calls, things like that. But I'm also a yoga teacher. I teach yoga teachers, like yoga teacher trainings, yoga classes, and I'm a full-time graduate student.
Nice, thank you. So, talking about your daily work, how long have you been in this line of work? And then how long have you been a yoga teacher?
I just began this job in December of this past year, so that was 2018. I got into this line of work because I am studying clinical mental health counseling. So I knew I wanted to be in the field of community mental health. Pathways is a organization, a nonprofit that, covers everything from substance abuse to developmental delay, autism, to crisis work, to the type of work that I'm in. So that's why I got into this. Sexual assault is also just kind of like a hot topic right now. We just had that Kavanaugh case about a year ago, and mm-hmm. It's more of a hot topic, so it kind of just caught my eye a little more probably now than maybe it would have, say, a couple years ago, or if it would have been a different year, a different time. And then what was the next question?
So also, how long have you been a yoga teacher? So just trying to kind of interlace the two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Interlacing the two. I have taught yoga since 2015. I think 2015 is when I did my yoga teacher training. And really it was yoga that made me want to get into counseling work. Being able to kind of be, I consider yoga part of the helping profession, and that's what counseling is, and things like counseling, social work, psychology, that's all the helping profession. Like all with wellness and well-being and healing, it's all healing work. And being able to connect with so many students in the yoga classroom, it's like you only have an hour to work with anywhere from 3 to 30 individuals. And that made me realize I wanted to work more intimately in a one-on-one setting to really help facilitate and support growth and healing, from start to finish, sort of, if in a more intimate and not detailed, but just
comprehensive,
more comprehensive way. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. That's exactly.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like I'm glad that we're doing this interview.
Yay!
So, I guess that kind of answers my next question of what inspired you to choose your career. Like, currently, yoga kind of led you there. So, Take me through a typical day in your job currently and describe what that's like.
Well, every day is different. So a typical day could be packing up to go to a high school in Eastern Kentucky and helping our main educator. So that would be sitting in a classroom and doing this program that's called Green Dot. That's Kentucky's statewide violence prevention program that they're implementing in the high schools right now. They've been doing it for a couple years, and there's been a lot of statistics that shows its effectiveness. So it could be going to the high school and spending literally the whole day with about 25 high school students talking to them about violence prevention. A typical day could be scheduling our call-out calendars, so gathering all of my volunteers that volunteer to be on a schedule. So, like, say someone's, like, I don't know, it's just coordinating that, like, gathering when their availability is, putting together the calendar. Another typical day could literally just be sitting in meetings about and listening. It's called staffing, but listening to my coworkers talking about their clients and getting advice from each other, and just talking about the new, like, whatever is coming up, cases that other therapists have or social workers have or drug counselors have, and just kind of using each other to, like, as a support system to bounce ideas off of, like, what's working, what's not working. So any one of those things could be a typical day.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. So, you've already said you're currently in grad school. So how does that tie into what you're currently doing in your career and your end goal? Possibly tying in yoga, I'm sure. So, if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm studying clinical mental health counseling. And so that ties into working at Pathways in general, because it's community mental health, which just means there are therapists that work there. I really just wanted to be in the atmosphere of counseling, like of being literally just around therapists. So if I had a question about, I mean, honestly, something that I did in my homework the night before, I literally could just pop over to the next door and say, hey, like, do you deal with this theory or have you seen this case study? So that's been really cool. And then, you know, you also see counseling school is a lot of case studies. So you hear a lot of stories and are a part of and helping a lot of individuals, and you hear their stories. Like, a lot of my job is just listening to people's stories that can be really heavy. So a lot of it, so this job really is preparation for, you know, listening to those stories. And then, you know, right now I'm not in a therapeutic role, so I'm not providing therapy. I'm literally just listening ears. That's my job, is literally just to listen without judgment and just, you know, provide support. Mm-hmm. I believe you, you're not alone, things like that.
So you answered about half, I know.
Half of it, maybe.
Yeah, so basically your end goal.
Right, so the end goal.
Yeah.
So I see my job as just as literally just a stepping stone. I know I'm not going to be here for longer than a year. I 100% will plan to move into a therapeutic role when I graduate, which will be in a year and a half. I start my internships, like practicums, in a year. So I only anticipate being in this role for a year longer. And I think it's going to serve its purpose. So long term, it will be a long road to get to the final goal, in which that can always change, but as of now, LP to be when I graduate, I'll be an LPCA, And then after, that's with supervision. You're under a supervisor, and you have to be for a minimum of 2 years, I believe. And then I can be an LPCC, which will just mean that I'm independently licensed, so I do not have to be under supervision anymore. So potentially if I wanted to work for, like, on my own, like open up my own practice, I'm independently licensed, so I can do that. So that's 2 years after graduation that for independent licensure. There is something called Phoenix Rising Yoga Therapy. And that, there's some loopholes, like, in other ways you can get to that credential, but one way is to be a licensed therapist and then also have a 200-hour RYT, which is registered yoga teacher, which that's what I am. And then it requires so many hours, I don't know the number off the top of my head, of the specific Phoenix Rising Yoga Therapy. And essentially, it is designed for one-on-one yoga therapy. And my understanding is you can collaborate talk therapy, which is what I'm being trained to do right now, with yoga therapy, which is like therapy through movement and releasing of energy through you know movement, yoga postures, meditation. And then, I mean, having the talk therapy background, I'm sure the collaboration could just be for, you know, if that's what someone is looking for, it can, yeah, can be really be a therapeutic experience. So that's a long-term goal, and you totally have to be in among a population in an area of the country that's receptive to that and wanting that where there's a market for that. So but still, that would be, I mean, I would have to go through that training. So we're looking at like a minimum of 5 years, probably more like 6, 7, 8 mm-hmm. years down the road. But that's the end goal. And then to continue providing continued education for yoga teachers in that niche of yoga therapeutics, just the therapeutic aspect of yoga in general.
All right.
Yeah.
I love my answer. Okay.
Mouthful.
Yeah. All right. So, in addition to previous experiences, more specifically, how have you used your yoga practice in your career so far?
Yeah, so just today I was with a client who was having a lot of intrusive thoughts related to their past trauma. And one thing that, or a couple things that, you know, I just offered to him was Thich Nhat Hanh. I don't know if you're familiar. Mm-hmm. He's a Buddhist meditation teacher that's really popular in the United States. And he has like walking meditations. So, you know, I asked him like, you know, what are some things that you like to do that bring you joy? And we came up with, like riding a bike, just walking or taking a run. And so my suggestion was to, you know, to get your mind focused on something other than those thoughts, counting your steps. So really, you know, staying with one foot, so like right foot in front of you is one, left foot in front of you two, right foot one, left foot two, or 1, 2, 3, 4, count up to 100. So that's like a counting meditation, or even like while you're walking, repeating to yourself, I am walking, I am walking, I am walking. So your body's moving and then your mind's moving at the same time. And so, I mean, the hope is for eventual, you know, a little bit of peace, a little bit of clarity through that. So that's one example of literally just how
nice.
We use that just okay. Today.
I love that. Okay. So, what has been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome in your career or in a specific job, just kind of in the workplace so far?
Mm. this is the first one that came to my mind. I'm sure that there have been a couple, but perhaps this is what makes pursuing yoga maybe different than pursuing engineering or, I don't know, some other kind of math thing or just some maybe physical therapy or something like that. Yoga comes with, not that these other things don't, but more so, yoga comes with like a moral code, a philosophy, an ethics, a way to live. Not that it's a religion, but where I've heavily pursued yoga and try to embody the teachings. So I was working full-time as a yoga teacher prior to this job that I'm in now. And so I was able to do that and around and worked for people that were also into this and respected the yogic philosophy. So it wasn't a big deal to, you know, be present, take your time with things. So coming back into like the 9-to-5 world of people who, you know, don't practice yoga. They practice, I don't know what other people practice, but it's been a challenge to adjust back into just regular, I don't know, I guess you could just call it the regular world of people,
Just doing their thing.
I'm trying not to, I don't want to come across as, I'm trying to gather a way to just, to say what I'm trying to say. It's kind of like, you know, in yoga, we teach our students and we teach each other, like when you're a part of a yoga community, to take care of yourself and to look out for yourself. So if you need a day or an hour, like it's so encouraged to take that, like go sit and breathe, like breaks are included, silence is really respected, like take some breathing breaks, take some like silent quiet breaks, doing what you need to do, and then coming into more of a you know, Western world philosophy of like go, go, go.
Yeah.
You don't need breaks. Why would you think about yourself? That's selfish to think that you need a break.
Mm-hmm.
Like coming back into that mindset is challenging. So, and surprisingly, even in the community mental health, people at Pathways are wonderful. But it's just, I think it's just our culture is go, go, go. I don't think about myself. I think about everyone else. So in turn, it feels really selfish to take care of yourself and counterintuitive. And, that's not in my core anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is the biggest challenge, especially because I'm continuing with this, you know, with yoga and trying to bring this philosophy without, one, pushing it on other people or asking other people to believe what I believe, but also, two, setting the boundaries so that my beliefs and value systems don't have to be compromised.
Yeah, that's a big challenge.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. And so,
go for it. Yeah.
Know, I'm in Eastern Kentucky. I mean, Huntington is right here too. And we don't have a lot of minority. We don't have a lot of diversity in this area. So, you know, somewhere else that has more diversity and more culture may be a little more accommodating to, if you have a differing belief, you know, accommodating to that. But here, we're just not used to, we're not used to having to accommodate to diversity.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that. Especially here in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Okay, so this might tie in a little bit. What work policy do you find most difficult to follow, and what are the biggest challenges for a worker in this position?
So we're talking about, like, in community mental health, what is...
Yeah, like, so far, like, your experiences in the workplaces that you've been, like, what's been, and this might kind of tie into what you just said, like, maybe more specifically, like, a policy or a rule that you have to follow that's been most challenging for you.
A rule that I have to follow.
All of them.
No. Truly, I want to say none, and I wanted to just sarcastically be like, sitting in a chair, I'd rather sit on the floor, wearing shoes, I'd rather keep them off,
because hey,
it's better. It's better for your health. And I don't believe it's sustainable to sit in a chair for 8 hours a day. I don't believe that's sustainable. Same thing with shoes. It's not healthy to wear shoes all the day long.
Yeah.
But that's my belief. So, and you know, when I get, and honestly, it's not a big deal because when I go in my office, I get on the floor when I need to. I get up and walk around when I need to. And, I take my shoes off when I need to. So, I mean, just tying on the same thing, not feeling guilty when you see your coworkers not doing that. And it's a mental challenge to not feel guilty or weird or like you're taking too many breaks or something like that. When you need to get up every hour for 5 minutes and take a walk. Like, that's, even though if you do a Google search, like, probably the health, I don't know, not the World Health, but somebody somewhere has probably done a study that says you should do that. You should look away from your computer every 50 minutes.
Like, oh, yeah.
I know that statistic is out there.
I feel like I've heard that, something along those lines before, like,
yeah,
you know, taking breaks, going for walks, clear your mind, then refocus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even though that's out there, people still kind of, you still kind of feel guilty doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these are really trivial, like, challenges, but that's your challenge. Yeah.
You answered the question. It's okay. Okay, so what has your job told you about the world? How has your career so far affected your view on the world?
Well, I'm going to tie, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years, you know, I was teaching yoga more full-time, so I was seeing that has definitely had much more of a shift and influence than the last 4 months in my current job. How's it shifted? How's it changed my view of the world? I'll say at first for pursuing yoga full-time, has made me a much more compassionate person. It's given me more of a belief that, like, having a peaceful life is something that could really happen. And then a third thing is that it's made me believe from experience that we can shape our lives to what we want them to be. There isn't this cookie cutter one way to do life. Like, when we leave our parents' home, you know, a lot of us think, you know, however it was that we were living life for the last 18 years, you know, or whatever way our parents approve that we make a living for ourselves and make a life for ourselves, like, that's kind of what we feel like we have to do. But my career so far, just as a person, my professional life, has shown me that there are a lot of other options out there, and it's never too late to pursue them. I mean, I applied to graduate school when I was, or got into graduate school when I was 26. I mean, if you follow the normal path, you're in at 22. But if you meander and kind of take some breaks and travel and see other things and try other things, you know, you see things you wouldn't have seen before and find out things about yourself that you wouldn't have, and see that there's other ways to live. You have choices and you have options. To bring that question around to working in like the Rape Crisis Center or victim services, it showed me about the world. You know, it's kind of like fire and ice. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, you know, yoga was like peace, hope, like beauty, and then rape crisis is like like terror, fear.
I'm sure it's really hard to, you know, try to live this peaceful life and embody all of these teachings and then go to work and have to hear about these horrific incidents. And I mean, I can't even imagine having to, you know, be there and listen to some of those things. Like, that just makes my stomach turn thinking about it. Like, so I'm sure that's really challenging.
It is. But the silver lining is that as a yoga teacher, like, it makes me feel like the peace and the light, like, not to sound too yoga-y for this, but...
No, you're fine.
The light that I embody and how I take care of my light is so important, because I can't give out peace, like, and calm or non-anxious energy. I can't give that out if I don't have that. And, you know, in times of crisis, people need an anxious energy. People need calm and people need peace. And if I'm not taking care of myself, then I can't give it. So it ends up actually being another reason all the more to keep pursuing, you know, keep pursuing the importance of being not happy, but like pursuing what you want to pursue.
Yeah,
you know,
living your truth.
Living my truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Beautifully said. Yeah. All right. So, last question. Well, two more after this, but last of one of my questions. Cool. What is your favorite aspect of your work? And this can be yoga related or mix the two, whatever you want. What's your favorite aspect of your work, and how is that meaningful? You can think about it for a second if you want.
Favorite aspect of my work. Well, okay, so immediately this first thing came to mind, and I'm sure I'll come up with something else along the way also. But I was teaching a yoga class in Cary, North Carolina when I was living there. And it was a yoga class of probably around 25. And so then those students, you don't get to know everyone. And people trickle in and out. I had regulars, but there were always new people. So you didn't necessarily always know people's names, things like that. So at the end of the class, this girl comes up to me, who maybe looks like 35 or something like that, and she said, you know, I was a soldier, I have PTSD, and that, like, right now in this moment after this class, this is the most calm, like, unanxious I have felt in a really, really long time. And so that moment always sticks out to me, where it's like, okay, yeah, like, this is what we're, this is why we're doing this. So it's like those little things, and all the moments, like all the other times that students have come up to me after class and said something like that. And then, I don't know, that, you just making that small connection that lasts 3 minutes, like, is really beautiful. And then I guess the what did you ask? Like, what is the meaning
what
in
makes,
it?
Yeah, like, what makes that meaningful? Which, I mean,
yeah,
I think that kind of answered the question, mm-hmm. but.
Yeah. I think it did, too.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of simmering, like, sitting on that for a little. That's a big one to chew on.
It is.
Yeah.
But yeah, connecting with people, that's super meaningful.
Yeah, okay, I'm about to go off on a tangent, but I'll keep it short. it kind of just comes back full circle to our culture and our world that is just so busy and just doesn't, like, in the culture, like, we say we care about our well-being, and then we say we care about each other's well-being, but it's not ingrained and intertwined in our actual daily habits. Like, our actual daily habits are not reflecting that, to me anyways. It's just not what I see in other people. Like, space, like, giving, you know, I think space can, just giving someone time, like, quiet or, you know, like, a breather can be really healing, and I just feel like, you know, I don't know. So I find meaning in being a voice and an advocate for, you know, what I believe and what I've seen to actually be just the opposite of busy.
Yes. Okay. All right. No, I like that. I like what you had to say about that.
Cool.
So, our first year seminar class is focused on critical thinking. What is an example of critical thinking in your line of work? Please be specific, elaborate, maybe tell me a story.
Well, first of all, critical thinking is literal, I don't know the correct grammar there, but critical thinking is the most valuable tool one can have, so it's really cool that, is that your teacher's thing, or is that just what the class is?
Yeah, no, well, so, like, Marshall University has, like, a list of, like, your courses, you have, like, critical thinking courses. I'm pretty sure this is included as one of those. So, like, they emphasize critical thinking amongst, like, metacognitive thinking. So, like, this class has picked out a few of, like, 7 or 8, I think, requirements that Marshall wants you to cover through your undergrad. So, but she specifically, my professor, picked this book from Frank Sesno to emphasize critical thinking. So...
Yeah,
this is just specific to this class, I guess, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, yeah, well, it's definitely super valuable. Like, I call it problem solving, but I think we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Me and my husband talk about how everything is, like, problem solving. Like, you know, when you go to approach anything, like, whether it's new, as something as simple as taking a drive to what's your career going to be, or should I have a baby? Like, should I bring a child into the world? Like, you know, sitting down and thinking about, like, the ways that this could go. And then when you're in the moment, when you're doing something, whether it's, like, preparing a yoga workshop, let's say, because I've been doing that lately, like, visioning out, like, thinking critically about how this is gonna go, how it's gonna play out in person. Like, it's different than it is when you're down at your computer, or, like, sitting on your floor creating, like, a poster or an outline for the class. Just thinking about how that can go. But then there's the next step of when you're in the moment, like, for example, actually teaching the workshop, like, taking those mental notes of well, this could have went, like, this would have been, like, cooler if I would have just done this way instead. Like, little things like that in the workshop. And then after the workshop, it's not over. Like, you kind of debrief with yourself and gather all those mental notes, apply it to the workshop, make those adjustments so that when you do the next one, like, it's better. And it's, like, on and on it goes. Like, mm-hmm. I think the same thing works even inside of a marriage, like, inside of a intimate relationship, inside of friendships, inside of your relationships with your family. Like, you figure, you know, you get in a fight with someone and afterwards you can think critically about why, like, what happened that escalated that fight and how can we avoid it in the future. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I think there's a difference between overthinking and overanalyzing. There's a difference between that and just thinking critically, like, black and white, like, what is working, like, what isn't working. We don't have to, like, be dead horses, but, like, we can, you know,
yeah,
just plan and prep, like, work harder or work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, maybe, like, removing yourself from that emotion, like, oh, I'm angry at you or whatever, and being able to think, like, logically and be like, okay, this is what's happening, this is how I'm feeling, with logical thinking rather than flying off the wall. And I feel like, yeah.
I know exactly where you're going with this, too, and then one of my favorite stories, or more so meditations, is to take on the eye or the role of the observer. And there's, like, this visual of, you know, when something, like, intense is happening to us, whether it's a fight or even, like, public speaking, like, that can be really intense for people.
Yeah.
Going to a new job, like, being, like, you know, that can be really intense because you don't know anything.
Definitely. I didn't even think of it like that. Like, that's way more applicable than what I was, I mean, yeah, we all experience conflict, but, like, that's daily life. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, there's good stressors and bad stressors, and then sometimes it's a blurry line. Like, a stressor is just a stressor, you know, like, yeah. Things that we do, you know, when we're teenagers, like, driving a car for the first time can seem really, really intense. So when we're experiencing that, it's the visual that this story gives is that we're under a waterfall, and literally, like, it's almost like we're looking up and all we can see is water. Like, if you think about yourself actually under a waterfall and it's just beating down on you and you feel the water beating on you and you can't see anything and all you know is you're, like, you're in a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But the story asks you to take yourself or move yourself, or a part of you, maybe, like, there's two parts of you or something, but to take on, to observe that situation from the shore. So, you know, you have a waterfall, so obviously you have a pool of water under the waterfall, let's say, like, a pond or a lake or something, and you put yourself on shore, and then you look at yourself experiencing it under the waterfall and think about what's going on from there. So it's, like, no longer is, it's not happening to you, but you're watching it happen. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of think about that verbiage, how it's different. And I think you're able to think critically, analytically, however you want to say that, when you're watching it happen, opposed to, this is happening to me.
Mm. Yeah. That's a tough one.
That is tough.
Especially in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
So, final question. What would you like to add that I haven't asked?
I would like to add, I think that there's just, I guess I could tell you just that I think that there's value in having, a doctorate degree, especially, I mean, even for myself, and I know that you're going into the yoga field as well, and you're teaching yoga, so I think it's, like, the more you study, I think that there's so much value in knowledge. So, and of course, you can do your own study, too, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be an institution type of thing, but I just think the more you know, and the more that we kind of give ourselves the education and, like, support that we, like, show with our lives that we value education, I don't know. I just think that that's really cool and gives, you know, a good vibration into the world. Mm-hmm. Like, education is important. Bettering yourself, thinking critically, and applicable education, not just, like, you know, memorization, but just the more we know, you know, the more we're able to pass on to future generations, you know. I think, like, for the future of the yoga community, I'd love to see it less, like, turn into, like, a fitness just thing where, you know, we're spouting out a lot of yoga teachers at the 200 hour level, but I think I'm just trying to add that there's so much value in going deeper. Like, I think in yoga, and I'm sure with counseling, like, I'm just now getting, you know, I'm a year and a half in with counseling, and I've learned a lot of stuff that's really rich, and I'm really excited to move forward. But I think there's value in going on and going deeper. It's kind of like, you know, having a 200 level RYT, which is registered yoga teacher, and then there's moving on, like, to the 500, and I'm sure, like, that's 300 more hours. I'm sure that's, you're getting so much deeper, mm-hmm. you know? I would assume, and I feel like it's the same way with, you know, a master's level degree in counseling, and then, like, moving on to PhD, like, you're, you know, adding two or three, however long it takes you, more years of, like, more in-depth education, understanding research, like, understanding how we're getting, you know, these theories that are dictating what our therapists are giving out, you know, what they're working with their clients with, you know, just understanding things at a deeper level. I don't want to lose that. And I think it's cool, when people want to go deeper. And I guess that's just what I'll wrap that up with. Like, you know, that's just how I feel anyway. So, like, somebody's going to go deeper, and somebody's, like, going to hold the knowledge, and those people hold a lot of responsibility, like, mm-hmm. and somebody needs to do it.
Yeah. I think that's just what I needed to hear out of all the questions.
Cool. All
right. So, with that being said, thank you for allowing me to interview you and giving me your time. And that's that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Woohoo. Yes.